Before the service, I wanted to share this with you. Well, during the service. Just like Matt says, the house of prayer is you. And we spend a lot of time. I want you to think about this, guys. We look, you know, for God without, from something else. God's design is rivers of life to abundantly flow out of you. If you are looking for something somewhere else, when God has ordained it to magnify and rise that river out of you, you are missing fundamentally really the way you're designed. In the church, we have a lot of times kind of said, you know, gather, let's get people in the room. And when we get people in the room, God shows up. When we get believers in the room, God's either coming through them or he's not. What I found a lot of in life, this is how we're made. I was reading a book that said, basically, if the Christian loses his outflow, he's lost his justification for existence. So I want to give you a word of encouragement. I don't care what you feel about that or how you feel. I care that you were designed to outflow. That's why we tell people to spend intimate time with God, because this is part of the process that has those waters coming up and out. It's like looking for a pair of glasses that are on my head and on the house. I'm never going to find them. I've already got them on. I've actually did that. I got to tell you, that's actually happened to me. Looking for something I'm already wearing. In fact, one time I remember walking around wondering where my glasses went, or my contact lenses went. And as I'm running around the house, because they're not in my case, when I woke up, I had fallen asleep with them in my eyes. And finally it dawned on me, you've got 20/20 vision, and that's really not normal. And it dawned on me, they're already in my eyes. And I love what Matt had said about, you know, we are the houses of prayer. If you were not prayerful, a house of prayer, an external place is not a fixed place where you get a hold of God. You get a hold of God in you. God, Jesus has made a sacrifice. So I want to encourage you in this morning. There's a beautiful thing, understanding that there's an outflow that that he's designed to come out of you. Understanding as you seek the Lord, he pours into your spirit. Nothing wrong with, I love corporate worship. I love corporate prayer. It's all good. But at the end of the day, it's all these little prayer houses coming in to a place to be together, and then that prayer unites. But again, this plagues the body because we have a commercial mentality where there's a merchandising. You know, we sell things in the house of God that should never be sold. We tell people, come to me, I'm a great power, I will give you power, but that's really not what the Lord said at all, and it's not the design. So I want to encourage you today, be those prayer houses, be that connecting tissue. You were made this way. I was made this way. Ask God, say, I want to flow out. I want there to be a natural outflow in my life. A natural outflow in my life. You start connecting. You start getting a hold of God. You start looking. You start saying, I'm not looking for God. He dwells. I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. I want God to magnify in me, and I want him to outflow through me. Now, a lot of what we do in the commercialization of Christianity is someone kind of says, I've got a special outflow and I want you to come here and give me money and I will flow into you. But the problem with that whole thing is, in a sense, it's commercialization of the anointing. It's merchandising the anointing of God when God wants to increase. Now, that doesn't mean that people have various gifts that others are blessed off of. But this basic aspect is, as Matt had said, you are the house of prayer. You are the house of prayer. That's an awesome thing. Now, today I want to talk about something that actually relates a lot to that. And our mouth. It's either our ally or our enemy. And the older I get, the more prone I get to understanding two things. To be careful of what I allow to go through my mind again and again and again and again. What I mentally ruminate on. Now, ruminating is a very gross term, because when I worked for mental health, we had residents that they would say they're ruminators. And what's that mean is they, you know, they bring it up and they swallow it. They bring it up and they swallow it. In fact, we had a resident that did it so much it eroded his teeth completely because of the acidity in your stomach. What do you allow to go through your mind? Here's the weirdest trick. You are not under the control of these thoughts that come. And it's not like, I can't get that out of my head. We oftentimes understand that long ago we have allowed so many things to go around and around in our head that should not be going, that we forget about the choices we make to allow it to run through our mind. It's amazing, and I am no saint in this area because I went through this. God's had to free me and deliver me. Is what the two things I learned that you got to be careful with is what you allow to ruminate through your mind again and again and again. There are things you just dwell on, and it's almost circular, like a wheel spinning, and they just keep moving in your mind. And secondly, this is a big one. What I allowed to come out of my mouth totally mattered. Me speaking was not just a simple matter that I'm only telling the truth or I'm only speaking a reality. So many times when I have challenged someone that is speaking and their mouth is being their enemy and not their ally, I always get that same wonderful excuse. I've made it myself. I'm only being realistic. I'm only being truthful. I'm only saying what is. And I can tell you with a great confidence, many times that's simply not true at all. We Christians are people that exist between two worlds. We are in the earth, but we are also one foot in heaven, one foot in the earth. The truths that ultimately guide us aren't always the things that are visible. There are facts, and then how to interpret the facts in that truth. But what you allow to come out of your mouth is a big thing. In fact, many times people kind of go, well, I was really mad, and it was building up, and I'm glad I lit it out. In fact, back in the 80s, I remember they were called these episodes, where they had rage encounters, where you just sat there and screamed and screamed and screamed, and you know, you got it all out. But the reality they found after a while is you could sit there in a psychologist's office screaming at the top of your lungs into a pillow, but it really didn't work out. Stuff really didn't get out of you. And actually what was coming out of your mouth only encouraged more and more to grow in your spirit. Words are very important, but these are two big things I learned. What am I going to allow to run around in my mind? What am I going to allow to come out of my mouth? Many times when we talk to each other, I've counseled many people, and many times they've already run something through their mind so many times, and they're speaking a certain way, and I need to actually kind of say, listen, everything you're saying to me is coming out of a mind that is circular. It's run this thing in motion of fear, anxiety, distrust, no faith, the opposite. God's not there. And we can talk about it, but I need you to quit. Your mind needs to come to a dire stop right now. And you need to quit releasing out of your mouth the stuff that is absolutely killing you. There's no such thing, guys, as just words. Jesus didn't say that. In fact, Jesus said that his people, we would account for every idle word that we spoke. Now, when I look at Jesus saying, you know, you will account for every idle word you speak, I'm thinking about that, and it brings me to another thought. I get a thought that gets connected to this. If the Lord wants me to be careful with my mouth and what comes out of it, and the Lord, that words matter powerfully in my own life, I start realizing that God, we were made in His likeness. If you look in Genesis, it says we were made in His likeness. So I think about something. God made my mouth. God's own mouth does what? Communicates with His creation. And then God's creation praise Him and communicate with the Father. The mouth is a very elevated thing and people don't realize it because we live in a country where it's not, you know, what you say but how you say it. Where God gets into the intent of the heart when you say it. You know, what you're allowing to come out of your mouth. And you start thinking about this for a minute and you realize, God, I was made in Your likeness. I was made in Your image. And it's funny, the tongue warned me about my tongue more than any other part of my body, actually. I would say this, if your mouth is reserved and you want your mouth to be used for the goodness of God, and this isn't some kind of tight moral cord you put on paper, because really God teaches us out of the mouth can flow the abundance of the heart. Sometimes we got to change our heart before we speak. Sometimes we got to say, I'm not running that through my mind. I'm not even going to say that, because if that comes out of my mouth, it's going to affect things. It's going to affect me because I'm hearing it. It's going to affect others who are hearing it. Nothing else is said to be full of deadly poison and restless evil but the tongue. I want you to go to 1 Kings 17, verses 1 and 2. 1 Kings 17, verses 1 and 2. And I think about the prophets, okay? I think about the prophets, Elijah. I think about even Daniel, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Isaiah. And it's interesting because with these guys, you're seeing their mouth used for what? The word of the Lord. Their mouth is, they're used as what they call mouthpieces for the word of the Lord. And Elijah is withstanding a corrupt king. Who is he? He is Ahab. And Elijah is God's man. In fact, he has this connection with God. And God is going to speak through Elijah's mouth. Elijah knows that his tongue is reserved for the word of the Lord. So I have to think that Elijah watched what came out of his mouth, because he realized that out of that mouth he wanted a consistency to flow. And he's dealing with a wicked king. Now Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the settlers of Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives before whom I stand, surely there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word." God tells him to go to the brook Cherith, which is east by the Jordan. He drinks of the brook. He commanded the ravens to provide, and he does what God tells him. He speaks what God tells him. He understands that he's that mouthpiece of God. And this is an amazing thing, because he's saying, listen, unless by my word, there's not going to be rain. You're going to have a drought. And we had an amazing drought. And then we had an amazing rain. So I want you to think about something. Are we in a place where we're in sync with the Lord? Do we get in a place to where, you know, God wants to speak to us and we're going to say something extremely authoritative to somebody else? I want you to think about this. Then again, I want you to go up to verse 10. And we know that Elijah visits a widow. Verse 10, same chapter. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Please get me a little water in a jar that I may drink." As she was going to get it, he called to her and said, "Please bring me a piece of bread in your hand." But she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have no bread, only a handful of flour in the bowl and a little oil in the jar. And behold, I am gathering a few sticks that I may go in and prepare for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." You've got the starvation going on. You've got a drought going on. And here again, Elijah says, except by my word, it's not going to rain. His mouth is open to speak for God. And then he responds in verse 13, "And Elijah said to her, 'Do not fear, go, do as you have said, but make me a little bread cake from it first and bring it out to me. And afterward, you may make one for yourself and for your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bowl of flour shall not be exhausted, nor shall the jar of oil be empty until the day that the Lord sends rain on the face of the earth.' So she went and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The bowl of flour was not exhausted, nor did the jar of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke through Elijah." So again, this is not random. This is not like a superpower Elijah has. But he's tuned into the Lord. He's tuned into what God will speak through him. I want you to think about this. So he says these two things. One of them has to do with the drought. The other has to do with the widow feeding. And I want to ask you something. The interactions we have with each other, when it says, you know, let him who speaks do as the oracles of God, the understanding of the depth sometimes that God wants to use your mouth to another person. The depth that God wants to use your mouth to speak into another person. Whether you are a prophet or just can hear the all, I believe all believers can hear the voice of God. I believe there's a training and a maturity that God puts in his people. And I want you to think about that. Have, you know, a lot of times we do what I call, there's one phase of the word of the Lord. We get a word for somebody and we deliver it. That's great. But how many times have you been in a conversation with somebody and they were talking about their life? And as you were friends or they were relating to you and the word of the Lord came to you. And it actually had to do with the provision. Can you imagine telling somebody, actually, bless me. Bless me. And knowing the Lord, again, because televangelists do this all the time, give me your last bit of money and God will make you rich. But this is different. It's not cheesy. It's not commercial. He says, make me that bread. And as you do that, the bowl's not going to run out. I want you to understand something. Without Elijah, the widow and her son, they die. But Elijah opens her mind. He opens her spirit. She's a righteous woman, actually. She's just going to make some cakes so they can eat and they can then starve and die. And Elijah has a pathway, and it comes from the word of the Lord, and he's using his mouth, and he's bringing a light, and he's bringing a clarity to this woman. And he's saying, you know, this is what you do. And he just comes off the, except by my word there shall be no rain. Now he's having a second version, not to the kingdom of Israel. He is having a version where he's talking to a widow who has a challenge. And there's a situation, God is going to physically manifest. You have to understand something. When Jesus even made the loaves and the fishes multiply, Israel had seen something like this before. It was the flour bowl and the bread, where it had only so much in it, but as they made bread, it just didn't exhaust. It just didn't exhaust. It just didn't stop. I really believe God has a ton of things to speak out of your mouth in many situations. In fact, I worry that in a lot of ways we kind of look for somebody else to pour out. Mm-hmm. And there are many times we are in situations where the Lord specifically wants to give a direction. And he'll prove the direction, because like he did with this, the flour bowl didn't exhaust. But we get so caught up. We get so hung up in the physical, into doubt, into fear. We will speak so many things that are contrary to the reality of God. We will speak it, we will speak it, we will just sit there. And I'm thinking, when's the last widow you ran into? Or somebody? When is the last time you ran into someone? And God actually wanted them to share something. And it was critical that they share, because I want you to look at this. Share with Elijah, give him a bread cake. You're going to eat until the drought is over. You're not going to starve. You and your son are not going to die. You're not going to eat your last meal and then shrivel up in the desert and die. Make me a cake, and your bowl will become inexhaustible. And your prosperity, the bread, will keep coming. And not only is this, God has given you a pathway forward to survive the drought. They didn't have welfare in those days. They didn't have bread lines. There's no such thing. You die. You start. Maybe a Samaritan helps you out, but this is actually a kind of a rough way of living. I want you to think about this for a second. Like I said, we're good at the one part. We'll get a word from the Lord. We'll share. But there are situations that you're in, because this isn't a stranger on the street. I've given prophetic words to a stranger. In fact, I approached someone in a hotel lobby many years ago and gave them the exact debt amount that they had to come up with in 7 days. And I told them God was going to do something. But there's something he's asking of you to do, and he will make that debt. And he did. And it's that same kind of thing with the widow. God wants to use that mouth of yours in understanding how critical. Now, I could preach this and people will use it like a pattern, and that's not right. They'll just start saying random things to people that are spiritual kind of, and talking of provision. No, God spoke this way. This is not a free-for-all. You've got to know the word of the Lord. You've got to reserve your mouth. If my mouth speaks trash all the time, doubt all the time, it is not really, I'm not, so to speak, priming the pump to really come out with much good. I think about when God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and he gave me a mouth like he had a mouth. And I'm going to use that mouth to reveal his will, his heart, his joy, his wrath. I'm going to use my mouth to bring clarity. I want to use my mouth. Jesus says, I've come that you might know the Father. And how much time do we spend helping with our mouth people to know the Father? Now that's an intimate thing too. I want you to think about that. That's intimate. A lot of times we tell people about God and we speak about God, but we need to speak for God. But there comes this thing with Elijah and the very thing. Now I want you to jump over to Deuteronomy 6:4. Now, Deuteronomy 6:4 to the Jews is called the Shema. Deuteronomy is the fifth book in the law. Deuteronomy 6:4. There's a song we used to sing in the congregation, Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, the Lord, He is one. And I want to read this to you. Hear, O Israel, Deuteronomy 6:4. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. And then we get this thing. He says, you shall teach them diligently to your sons, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. Sitting in my house, walking by the way, lying down, rising up. I want you to think of something. That our mouth teaches loving the Lord with all our heart, with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our might. That is the tri being of mankind. Heart, soul, spirit. His emotional parts, his strength, and his very spirit. Can you imagine taking the time to speaking of these things and even the Shema for Israel when you walk by the way, sitting in your house, lying down, rising up? One of the things that God wants to do in people, he wants to absolutely get us in our conversations of speaking the things that matter. You know, I myself, I love a good joke. I don't know if you like a good joke. I like a good joke. I don't mind a joke. I don't want to hear a lot of coarse jesting. But at the same reality, I realize that my mouth is important. Now, I want to give you a challenge with your mouth, too. Can you speak the things which are true concerning the issues of your life and your situations? I didn't say rehearsing maybe the physical predicament you find yourself in or some kind of trial or limitation. But with your mouth, can you use it to really allow the outflow? God actually wants to, and this is a funny thing. God is with us. God is with us as we allow words to come out of us that please Him. The Lord will multiply. The Lord will multiply faith. The Lord will multiply many things as you are dealing and speaking in the way that you should. But I was thinking about this. What if you made an assignment and said, I'm only going to speak in a way which is true, even in the situations in my life. I will only speak about those situations from the perspective of God's truth towards the situations. I won't speak things that are contrary to what God speaks to me in my situations. I will not ruminate and regurgitate a bunch of things of doubt or fear, but I will protect my mouth. I will be careful what comes out of it. I won't rehearse doubt in my ears because it's not going to help me at all. I am not going to run from my situations. I'm not going to say, I don't have a challenge. But with that challenge, my mouth is going to respond in the way that truly speaks truth. There are Christians, if you do that, that will either say you're mixed up in a cult or you're just not being realistic about the things that you're going through. But I so wonder what happens if we challenge ourselves with our situations to make our responses, to make the words that come out of our mouth, the ones that show only truth concerning the issues of my life. What does God really say to Mike Cipolla in this? Or what does He say to Mike Cipolla in the drought? What does He say to Mike Cipolla? What does He say in the fire? What does He say even in the trial? What does He say? It's an interesting thing. To be blessed, the word in Hebrew it initially means to be elevated or lifted up. To be cursed means to be brought low. Your mouth either blesses or curses your very existence. And what I mean is, I've seen people talk themselves down so low with their own mouth. Mm. And here's the interesting thing. Back to really what the kind of the diecast that was said in the morning about houses of prayer and about God moving rivers out from your inside. It's completely relative. And a lot of times we just look at our situation and we will ruminate and we will speak to about it in ways that God's not speaking to it at all. Do you really think God is having a hard time in your trial right now of knowing what He wants to do? Do you really think the Lord is stressed or barely holding up your life? Do you really think the Father is straining over what to do next for the trauma that you're facing? Do you really believe that the Father, in any sense of His entire being, has any doubts about you or any doubts about his ability to bring His will to your life, to have you fulfill what He has asked of you? Because if you would or if you do, you have a different opinion about you than God has. For many years as a Christian, because of abuses with the word of faith and the word of confession, I strayed from the truth where in a lot of ways I devalued speech, meaning you know, so I said this, so what? So I spoke about a bunch of doubts I have, and I might have said it 30 times, you know, about a situation. God's still God. But it's interesting. I look in the story of Elijah, I never see God as still God. I see Elijah saying, except by my word, it will not rain. And then I see him again. Make the cakes. If you do, your bowl will not exhaust. I don't see that in the scripture. And I start understanding that. And I want you to think about this truth. God wants to elevate you. And what you're allowing to come out of your mouth will either contradict the truth or it'll work in harmony with it. Seriously. See, a lot of people in the world, when they hear this, they feel like, well, they're just weak. They can't deal with reality. I got to tell you something. I've never been in a trial where I didn't fully see the hardship of it. Where in my very mind, I'm looking and saying, not going like, that's a breeze. But one thing that I started to understand, that God wanted the truth confessed versus my garbage, my baggage, my doubting man. He wanted to do something. And I think about this. If out of our innermost beings are to flow rivers of life, and one of the ways those rivers come out and even are made manifest is how we speak. Then something else I really understood, if I do allow myself to speak in ways that contradict God's truth in my situations or others, then I lie against the truth. Because really, am I the house of prayer? Am I the temple of God? Am I a temple of the Holy Spirit? Is the Word of God becoming flesh in me? Because if that's true and I speak in ways that God never speaks about my situations, then I actually lie about the truth. I lie against the truth. Because in my very being, I've been born again. I've been made into the DNA of God. His word is in my heart now. So it's an interesting thing because, again, people will speak in ways that contradict who they are, what they are. It will contradict God's ability to move in. Last scripture we're going to is James chapter 1 right now. And I think many of you is knowing the scripture, but he's going to the chapter about the tongue. And that is true. That's where I'm going. James deals with the issue. And I want to, we're going to look at 1. And we're going to read, I think, 5 and 6. Now, obviously in James, he's dealing with the testing of faith. So the Christians in the early church, the believers went through traumatic stuff. They were getting martyred. Their property was being legally removed from them because they were believers. Jews were being kicked out of their houses. In fact, one of the things Paul was doing, he was the evictor man. They would come in and take your home, take everything in it, and we'll put a good Jew in there, not a heretic believing in Yeshua or Jesus. Paul was that man named Saul. And so he's dealing with some of the hardest testings of your faith. Nowadays, we get tested because money comes up a little short. I mean, nothing compared to our forefathers. Nothing. These guys, their life was on the line all the time. They were considered fugitives. They were considered criminals when they were not criminals at all. Right after the considering it all joy, in verse 4, have let endurance have its perfect result, that you might be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Verse 4, you know, it says, in these trials, let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. For he must ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. And I want to say this, it's really, really important. He's talking about trials, and then he's connecting the asking of God for his wisdom in the trial. So when you're going to God and you're trying to get the perspective of God and you want to agree with God in your situation, God actually says, ask without doubting. Now I want to put something simple, and I've done this so many times, most believers have. How many times do you tell a negative part about a situation in your life, but then you'll follow it up by talking about, but you know God's in control? But the reality is, if you really knew that to the core of your being, where God wants to build it in you, you would have never made the first statement. Are you with me on this? Many times we will put the possibility first, and we will follow it up because that's what we Christians do. We talk about how doubtful, and we just don't know what we're going to do. And then underneath that whole paragraph, we put a line, but I know the Lord's in control. No, we don't. We've got to quit believing the things we say unless they're starting to materialize and showing in our lives. I did it all the time. In fact, we're going to get into that a little bit with our tongue. We ask God for wisdom. And actually, isn't it funny? The Lord says, ask in faith, don't ask with doubting. Well, then I have a simple conclusion for that. If God says for me to ask in faith, I'm capable of it. He wouldn't have said it if I'm not capable of it. But don't doubt. Don't ask it, kind of believe him. You know the Lord's good, but boy, I'm so doubting. According to the Lord, this kind of prayer will not get the wisdom of God at all. I've watched people sabotage even their testimonies because after they speak a paragraph of how amazing God is, then they begin to speak doubt following the very paragraph in contradiction, direct contradiction to what they just said. We sometimes need to guard our mouths. A lot of times. And it gets very critical. Now, me saying that, and I say this right away to you, because I can tell you right now that I have done that plenty of times. I've had fear and belief. I kind of knew God could get it, but I was so afraid of the event. I was so afraid of the reality I was facing. And I could say some good about God because I'd seen him do it before, but I was still fearful. So out of my mouth flowed two kinds of water, both salt and fresh. It was a walking contradiction. Now, here's the beautiful thing. When the Lord deals with me, he's going to take the man that prays double-minded, and he's going to make him, or the sister, the brother, he's going to make him single-minded. What he's going to do in that case, he's going to burn out of you. Many times, and I want to say this, and I don't say this in a bad way, because we've all dealt with this, but many times, if you talk to me and I hear a mixture of faith and doubt, I know one thing, is you walk away from me, because I've been there. I'm praying, Lord, that tells me you're still going to deal with the doubt. They're still willing to speak the doubt with the faith. That's not your way. So you're going to take them and you're going to break them. Apparently they're not done. Apparently they haven't learned their lesson yet. So back to the woodshed again. Because when they learn it, their speech will be consistent and it will make them a perfect man. Now again, we have to preach this to ourselves and not just to the congregation, because every believer I've ever met does this, including myself. Three, 1 and 2 in James, let not many of you become teachers, my brother, knowing that as such we will incur stricter judgment. But 2 is the revolution that we all need to get in our spirit. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, we've talked about the term perfect, and perfect sometimes in the scripture, the words used mean there's two different ways it comes up. There is something that is morally perfect, without flaw, without sin. God is perfect. Jesus was perfect. There's also another word that was used by rabbis in to say that you are a perfect man. It meant that you are a consistent man. It didn't mean that you never ever had a flaw, but it also meant you were perfectly consistent. That was the way you lived by. Now, there can be a hiccup in anyone's life, but when I realize that which I allow to come out of my mouth is going to dictate whether I'm a perfect man or not, God promises me that I can be consistent, and the mouth is the rudder. You know, a lot of people go, I'm sorry, I'm just saying it because it's in my heart anyway. But the scripture really doesn't teach any such thing. The scripture teaches what comes out of your mouth, what you allow yourself to say, this is the thing that dictates it. Because Satan can hit your mind, your emotions, with thoughts. But really, the problem gets really big when you start releasing them out of that mouth of yours or mine. We all stumble in many ways, but if we don't stumble in what we say, we become a perfect man. Think about this. We become a perfect man. I know that if my mouth and my tongue are controlled, and I am not allowing my mouth to be a sewage receptacle to receive or to spit out, I understand that it changes who I am. I want to say this again. Many people get into this. My heart's full of this, but my mouth is speaking, and I want to be real. And what they don't realize is the way God created the very our being, when we allow garbage to come out, that's actually the point of problem. Because I got to tell you something. What you will roll around a bunch does eke out. But what you will deal with even in your spirit when the enemy throws stuff at you, and I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to say that. I will not say that. I'm not going to release it. My mouth is critical. Then we start becoming a perfect man. And what it means is we start becoming perfectly consistent. And it's a beautiful thing. I want to tell you something, give you a word of encouragement today. There are times things have run through your mind that were not good. They went through your mind. You maybe even felt not just a whiff of emotion. You might have felt a whole lot. It might have been something you were fighting with. You might have had an attitude. Somebody might have wronged you. You just take the whole buffet of whatever. And it's in your spirit. I want to tell you something. If you haven't let it out yet with your mouth, you're still in the game and you need to get it out. Not speak it out. You need to stop thinking. Because the mouth is, it is like the cherry on top. We let it out. And if you ever notice something, it's not until people start speaking. And you'll see, I've seen people even with offense, they'll be stirred in their emotions. They'll be offended. But then it really gets kicking when they start talking. We curse our situations. We bless our situations. The whole time working ourselves up, hurting ourselves. I've hurt myself many times with my mouth. In fact, I've changed the course of my life and situations due to my mouth. But I want to bless you in something, because we start watching at what we speak and we start understanding it. And here's the deal. If I get a thought in my mind, and it might be wrong thinking, maybe I get an attitude in my mind, there is time to deal with it and say, I'm not going to keep running that through my mind. And I'm definitely not going to start speaking it. And you will be surprised how many things will go down. We communicate with words. Words are powerful. Words are powerful. No, your words, you are not God. You don't create the earth. You didn't create the heavens above and the galaxies. And you didn't create the sun, the moon, and the stars. And you didn't make man out of dirt. But the reality made in his likeness. Our mouth is a powerful thing. And the way we use it sometimes, it's interesting. Even in 5:5, it says, so also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. Now here's the other thing. It's interesting how the Spirit of the Lord wants to speak through you. It's interesting that Elijah speaks to the rain and that, and Elijah speaks to the widow, and he did many more things. And Jesus goes in, remember when the girl died, and he tells the mourners, stop crying, she's only asleep, she's not dead. And they just took it in a mortal way. Well, she stopped breathing, she's not sleeping. But to the Lord of life, and to the one who created all things, the Word of God, Jesus, she is sleeping. Her body may not be going, her heart may not be pumping, but there's so little they understand. But I want to say something to you. It's funny, because you got the Spirit of the Lord wants to use your mouth. The Spirit of the Lord wants to train you more and more. And if you're inconsistent, He's going to bring you into a consistency. If you're mixing doubt with faith, He's going to narrow that down. But it's interesting that the tongue, and this is what always blows me out, it's a world of iniquity, and it can defile my whole body. You're following your words. Your words are not following you, and a lot of people don't even believe this. In fact, a lot of Christians don't. You could read this, and they would say, I don't even believe that. Now, if you would ask them, why don't you believe it? Because the Scripture multiple times deals with the issue. Because a lot of times in the church, we are busy with men who teach traditions, and other men listen to them and believe it's authoritative and teach them. But the reality is, I could defile my entire body with my tongue. Start talking the wrong thing. Keep repeating the wrong thing. My body comes in line. I'm not even getting into sickness or disease or anything like that. But your attitude, you listen to your mouth, and as it releases, your whole being gets engulfed. Your whole being gets inflamed. Your whole being changes. And the last part of that, verse 8, no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. And I want to digress for a second. It says that the tongue has an ability to be set on fire by hell. Now I want to just throw this as we almost end this. That's scary to me. To say that my tongue has an ability to be salted and peppered from hell itself is not an idle threat. I've watched people with their mouths say the most horrifying things. I have said horrifying things with my mouth. I have watched people with their mouth destroy whole churches. I have watched people with their mouth destroy friendships. I have watched people with their mouths destroy their relationship with their own family. I have watched people with their mouth just about kill people. And it's an interesting thing. And you look and go, my Lord, all the damage that this tongue can cause. And then you read, is set on fire by hell. So if we don't have the governorship on our mouth, if we do not have the Spirit of God controlling our tongue, then it says it can serve another source. When you're in the world, this is really the scary thing. And I know my mouth got me in tons of trouble in the world. And many times we're listening to speech of people that the course of their language has been set on fire by hell itself. And we're taking it in, and we're taking it in, and we're taking it in. See, I can hear words. Do I take them in as another story? You can speak things. Do I take you seriously? That's a whole other ballgame. Someone cursing around me doesn't make me curse. Someone saying bad things around me doesn't make me bad. Do I take them in? A lot of times the tongue is so powerful. You know, you look at even in Proverbs, it says a gossiper is like the words of a whisperer. They're like dainty morsels. They go into the core of your being. People will take in bad information, and as they take it in, they don't even realize. As they're taking it in, they don't even realize you're getting poisoned right now. Because that mouth has been set on fire by hell itself. My mouth is absolutely was set on fire by hell itself as a sinner. Absolutely. No doubt about it. And closing up, with it, our tongue, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. So it's interesting, as we close today, your mouth, really, God wants to bless you. One of the things I want to get across to you today, God wants to use your mouth, absolutely. The Lord wants to get you more consistent. If you're a mixture of fear, doubt, and faith, He is going to actually put an end to the words. Listen to me. To the words. See, a lot of people go, I got to change my inside and then change my words. But really, we confirm that garbage going around in your heart, if you allow it to come out and you start speaking it, that's actually what brings it animated. A lot of people actually don't even understand the biblical chain of order with the mouth, with our entire being. But if God gets a governor on our mouth and we bridle our tongue, you know, bridle's an interesting thing. I don't know if you've ever rode a horse. I have. And you ride it and you put a bit in a bridle in their mouth and it controls them as you pull it. You know, think about this. You got this horse that, I don't know, weighs 500 pounds, 600 pounds, and you got a little bit, and when you pull it, it causes them to halt. I love that the writer uses like the rudder on a ship, which is way smaller than the ship. I love that the writer says the bit and the bridle, and he says, and it controls the thing. So I want to tell you something today. God puts the bridle in our mouth, and He gives you the ability to stop. He gives you the ability to think before you speak. He gives you the ability to even rethink and say, this is what God's saying to this situation. This is what the Lord is doing. And my ears need to hear my mouth. Now, I will say this, and as we close, the one thing that I realize, I don't want this fountain of Mike Zappella, I don't want it to speak out salt water and fresh water, bitter and sweet, cursing and blessing. This mouth is reserved for the goodness of God. It really is. Now, myself, my mouth changed drastically the day I got saved. But that didn't mean that I was a perfect man. There was many things I was still willing to say that I should not have. And there were many doubts I had that I spoke. But as God gets us into our spirit and we bridle the tongue, the whole man falls into order. Think about this, guys. The whole man. I want you to think about when you start to speak, because it's when you speak, really, that either you're either going to affirm all the garbage or you're going to contradict the lies that have been spoken in your mind. The next time you get into a situation where there's doubt, I want you to speak the things concerning faith into the Lord. The next time you get into fear, we want to speak the things and allow out of our mouth. You know, God's not intended for Christians to sit around for their entire life speaking out of their mouth what a mess they are. That needs to be repented of. God has not called me to look at my mouth so trivial-esque that I'm willing to speak things that totally contradict the truth that is within me as a son of God. Absolutely not. Now, I love when you do sermons like this, because often people will, you know, in the world, they will nitpick. You know, oh, you said a word. And that's not what this is about. It's about consistent living, man. This is not about table manners. This is a whole lot deeper than that. But I want to be a consistent man, and I want to be a perfect man. And I say that in the definitions that I have laid out for you. Let's rise and pray today. Let's just ask the Lord. Now, you may speak to your situation and say, God is faithful. And the enemy may come up in about 10 minutes and slap you in the side of the head and remind you of all the impossibility and doubt. You will speak again. I'm going to tell you this. Many times I've seen believers get a hold of this and they'll take a little stand. And the enemy will just like, you know, he just slap them real quick. You think that sermon meant anything? And then he hits them with a lot of emotions of fear and doubt and whatever. And suddenly they're like, it doesn't work. But trust me, it does. One of the most beautiful things that happened to me and continues to happen in my life, that at one point I was like a broken faucet, you know, where the little gasket just was wore out. Could never shut it out down. Speak doubt, speak fear, speak all kinds of things, even as a believer. And God began to deal with me, and somebody said, you know, I didn't know anything about this. I said, because I never said anything about it. Why? Because I wanted to weigh, I wanted to make sure with my mouth I was not ripping out something, speaking it to contradict what God was doing. God will make you more careful. And part of this too is in growing up. Part of this too is in maturing. And it is day after day, line upon line, precept upon precept. So there is a part of us that we are growing, but there's such an important issue with our mouth. Lord, as we close today, we bless your name. And one thing I love about worship is we all sought you. There were many proclamations and very real of praise, the prayer language. There were many words going out solely to you, to the praise of your name, to your glory, Father. As we dismiss today, Lord, you know, this is one of those messages you could preach in any church, in any country, at any time, and it's relative. But that's not why I did it, because this is something that you had laid on my heart. In fact, Lord, we think about even the act of preaching to where we need to hear you. We need to get a subject matter from you. Lord, even that outflow, even as our brother had talked about, you know, you are the prayer houses. And Lord, my prayer this morning, he had affirmed and confirmed as I was going to speak forth about just that outflow. I remember saying, let my brother speak a word. Let him lead the way with that. And he did. Our mouths are reserved for you. And Lord, I understand even as we pray, some people go, I got to grow because my mouth still hurts me. Well, that's all right. That's why these messages go forth. If nobody needed to grow, then we wouldn't need to preach at all. There'd be no need for teachers, no need for opening the scripture. So even as we dismiss today, Lord, you are amazing. Lord, it's not phony when I am being hit by a wave of fear or doubt or a circumstance to say, God is faithful. That's not me lying. That is me being honest with the truth. There's nothing wrong with such a proclamation. In fact, Lord, let us understand that's not make-believe. It's not make-believe. That's real. So even with our mouth this morning, we bless your name, Father. You are amazing, Father. We bless your name, Father, this morning. We ask your heart upon us this morning in the name of Jesus. And we pray even too. And we say this, Lord, and we've all dealt with this. We rebuke in the name of Jesus the cursing tongue. Lord, everybody knows there's curses that Christians throw up on Christians. Curses, lies, slander. Lord, and we just believe that your voice is stronger. Your mouth is greatest. We really believe that today. You said lying lips are but for a moment, but the truth, it lasts forever. So may we speak truth today out of our mouths and be perfect men and women. Because I believe it's attainable. I know it is. In fact, many times in the scripture, you give us a command of where we're supposed to grow into. And you don't say it because only a few men in all centuries will ever get it, or it's a special superhuman people that only can get it, because we're your kids, Father. We're your sons, we're your daughters. So as we dismiss today, bless our entire being in the name above all names. In the name of Jesus. Amen.